tonight.
The
precious name of Jesus Christ. We sit and enjoy ourselves. Just to be in His presence.
We're
looking forward that you would speak to our hearts tonight again.
I'd
like you to turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Reading from verse
8.
Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say. And hard to be uttered. Seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become as such as have need of milk and not of meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Ephesians 4. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Amen.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Muviri wose wakasonganidzwa zvakanaka mari nokubatanidzwa nenhengo dzose dzinosimbisa mutezo mumwe nomumwe uchibata nechiyero chawo kuti muviri ukuriswe pakuvakwa kwawo murudo.
Galatians 4.
Vagalatia 4.
Just let's read the last verse in chapter 3 and we'll begin from there. At verse
29.
And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent for the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Verse
19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. There's one scripture I'll read during the message, but best read it now, so I'll save you that time. 1 Corinthians
13.
Verses 9 to 13. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask of you tonight that you would speak to our hearts another time. Lord, we wait in your presence. Lord, we wait with an open heart, with a heart of faith, Lord, a heart of humility, asking that you would speak to us, Lord, and help us to be better Christians in this hour, to be a true reflection of Jesus Christ. This is the longing and the desire of our hearts to be like Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us in such a plain way tonight that your word will be so real that we'll be able to apply it into every area of our lives,
yes,
where we can benefit, Lord, and be closer drawn to you when we leave this service. Bless each and every one, Father. Bless your children. They're wearing their tired, just as I am, Lord. And I pray that your quickening power would be upon us all tonight.
Amen.
And you grant us strength, Lord. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, may I have a seat. I will have just proven to sing tonight. Just sit down in the presence of the Lord and enjoy the singing. And maybe hear one or two of the saints testify or one of the other ministers preach. I'm feeling very tired in my body. This is the 21st service. In about maybe 17 days. And it's been very tiring. I'm not complaining. Because I enjoy preaching to you very much. It's just a blessing for me to be here. I'm so happy that God has blessed us being here. So we can go back with precious memories in our hearts. That God was able to make us a blessing. And we have fellowship with many of the saints. And they express the appreciation for the word that they have received. It was just the grace of God. I trust that it has meant something to you also. We have maybe liked to spend more time with different ones. Sometimes you just begin to know one another a little better. And then you have to part. But we think of you often. Of your great faith and your great sacrifice that you have made and the life that you are living. When we look around in this hour and we see sin on every hand, we see the world falling apart, it's always an encouragement to know that there is one who is shining the light. And may we strive with all that is within us to be a real Christian. Because we have the true understanding in this hour from the word of God what a Christian is. It's Christ in you. We thought it was going to church. We thought we were saying, I believe in Jesus. We thought we were packing a Bible. And maybe coming out from some other worldly religion. But we realized in this day, when we saw the life of a prophet, Christ being revealed, it showed us what a Christian was. He lived so close to Jesus Christ. He loved him so much that people mistook the prophet for Christ. We want to be like that tonight. That people will mistake us for Jesus Christ. He lived for others. He said the greatest joy that a person can experience is in living for others. Amen.
Amen.
And that is what the life that was in Christ, when it was expressed, that's what it was. Greater love had no man than this. That a man laid down his life for his friends. This is what the revelation is to produce. The revelation is to conform us into his image. I have loved you. How we need to know that. How we need to study his life. How we need to sit down and meditate upon those things. Looking back in the scriptures. Not just when he was here upon the face of the earth. But from Genesis to Revelation. Whenever his life was made manifest in his sons and daughters. Showing forth in part what he was going to be when he came in the fullness. And he says, I have loved you, so you should love one another. And by this love shall all men know that you are my disciples. We try to prove we are his disciples many times by being able to explain the Godhead, by being able to explain serpent seed, by being able to explain water baptism, by being able to show that denomination is wrong and that the message is right. God sent a prophet. That is not showing we are disciples. Amen. Where we can love those who hate us, despitefully use us, speak all manner of evil against us, persecute us for his name's sake. Now we can get together and pray for them. Amen. By these things. And God many times purposely allows these things to happen to us, to reveal to us whether we have that measure or whether we don't have it. Because we can esteem ourselves more highly than we really are. Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you really are. And let's take heed that we fall when we think we stand in. Because many a times we look at our own selves, we say, I'm alright. I've just had one or two little faults. But God don't mind that. The Bible says, take the beam. You see these long, big pieces of wood that run across here? That keep up this roof? That's what you call a beam. That's what Jesus is speaking about. He said, take the beam out of your eye before you try to take the moat. A moat is a very tiny little speck out of your brother's eye. Amen. And that is what we should be doing. Taking an inventory. We don't mean to unchristianize anyone. And when we speak these things, we don't say that you're not a Christian. That is far from it. I believe that you are some of the finest people that we have met. As God has allowed us to travel in many different countries, preaching the message and being able to associate with many other members of this message. And I appreciate the ministers very much. I think they are real brothers in Christ. I didn't come to back up no certain one. I just come to fellowship as many as would receive us. Because I believe this is the hour. I read in the newspaper today from your country. I'm sure that Brother Martin this evening, the president in his Christmas Day speech, he is asking the people to pray for unity. They can all be together. When I was thinking about that, I would say he's in the inspiration for the season. It just is picking it up in a natural channel. You see, when inspiration is poured out, it falls upon everybody. they pick up the thoughts, but they see it in the physical realm only. Like Einstein, that great scientist. He studied the law of light. And he found that there was a great center in the universe. And if you come into contact with it, the power will be unlimited. You'll be able to create the world. And the prophet says, if Einstein only had the spiritual application. Amen. You see, as a natural man, you look at it in a natural way. And you know, recently in this country, they had to sack many commissioner, police and assistant commissioner, For corruption. They were supposed to protect and serve. To keep law and order. They were supposed to be a symbol of the law. But they never held the office. With the character they're supposed to serve it in it. So they have to be dismissed. And when we look at these things, we realize. It's very rough, eh? Is very rough.
Dolphin.
Amen. It just seems to be humorous, you know. And I was coming to car this evening. Coming to service. And I was thinking, I would just like to talk to the people a little bit. You come in a country many times. And you just preach away, service after service. And then you get so tired. You just pick up your bags and go home. Until they come back another time. And sometimes really you really seldom get to know the people. The way you should know them. And then sometimes you get a few minutes after a service. Maybe you shake their hand to find out the name. To know that they have a family. You know, they have children. And maybe they travel from far to get the service or something. And then you can appreciate a person. You get to know them a little better. You get to understand something about them. Amen. Then you become a friend to them. And then when you go to pray for them, you can really express your heart before the Lord. Instead of just saying, Lord, remember brother so-and-so. Because you know something about him. You can enter the situation. And unless you can really get into that place, we are not really a real help to one another. We must be identified with one another. We must feel for one another. We must learn to appreciate one another. If we cannot rejoice when God is using somebody else, then we are not worthy to be used by God. We must be able to enjoy God using others and making them a blessing also, because it is Christ in each and every one of us. And somebody get up and sing. I was thinking about our brother who was singing the song. Somebody on the back there. You know, he has a different way. He's unique in his own way. I was thinking he's going to be a great blessing in Trinidad if he comes. Amen. Maybe the Lord can make a way for him one of these days. It's a strange way. And we really appreciate it. You are our precious brother here. Brother really put many gifts inside of him. I've been watching him play almost every instrument. And singing almost every type of song. We really appreciate him. Even all the different ones in the congregation whom God have used in different ways. You know, sometimes we come to a meeting like this, and we have a great blessing. And just the public ministries, you know, Brother Bram's through public ministries and private ministries. The public ministry, the ministers, the song leaders, you know, all this is standing before the people. He said sometimes the reason there's a revival in that place, some little woman somewhere in the back who nobody never even noticed was praying for a revival. Amen. Was praying that God do something. Maybe like in recent times, when you were sailing through treacherous waters, troublesome times, A lot of religious disturbance. And there was somebody crying, pouring the tears out. Lord, it ought not to be this way. Lord, do something about it. Dissolve the differences. Unite the heart. It's the enemy, Lord. Praying that God will do something. Never, maybe they thought the prayer was never even heard. And then God came along in a season. And the Holy Spirit began to pour oil upon troubled waters. Began to take a new cruise. And salt. And heal the bitter waters. Amen. And then you see everything come about peaceful again. Because God was seeing those. He put a burden upon them to pray, to intercede. Amen. To get before God with sighing and crying for the abomination in the city. Is that what it was in the time of Ezekiel? Seal those who sigh and cry for the abomination in the city. Amen. And God does things that way. I just want to encourage you tonight. Be real sincere in this hour. God is fixing to move in a way like we have never seen him before. He is just getting our hearts right. Getting our spirits right. And like in the time of Hezekiah. When the prophet came on the scene, and he just set your house in order. And this hour, let us set our house in order. This house. Then let's set our homes in order. Then let's get our churches in order. And let's wait. God is going to move. He's going to bring in your loved ones. If you have the token, holding it dear with unwavering faith and believing for them, he promised he will do it. And he will do it. Amen. And if you want to see men in the churches who can't get a hold of faith, who need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, stand here on behalf of them. Garrison them in prayer. Hold them up before the Lord. He is going to do it. Because he promised that the third pearl will be for the sick, poor, suffering ones who cannot get a hold of faith. It is to bring a total deliverance to all these who might have only had a halfway deliverance. They'll be completely delivered. Let us believe for them and have great faith that God could honor it. Because God didn't send a prophet just to preach the word, to give us information. Whatever that prophet preached, God manifested it to prove to us that the hour is here and that these things are for this hour and that God is going to bring it apart. When he confirmed it in the life of the prophet, God was showing us that he is going to vindicate these things. Let us believe it with all our hearts.
Amen.
I will try and not go too long tonight. We have one more service. That's tomorrow morning. We want to have a little strength. We want to have a little strength for that last meeting. Then when we leave these services, we can go back home and like Mary, ponder these things that we have heard in our hearts and hold it before us and never depart from it. I want to speak tonight, we are no more children. And for a subject, putting away childish things. Because this is the time appointed of the Father. Amen.
Amen.
And as we read the scriptures tonight, Hebrews 5, verse 12, Hebrews 6, verse 3, Paul was exhorting the church, let us go unto perfection, unto a full age. He was telling them back there that he wanted to speak about Melchizedek. He wanted to speak about the theophanies. He said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, we in 1985, the seven seals was open. 1963, every mystery was finished in the song of the seventh angel. And 22 years after, we ought to be teachers. We ought to be a mature church. We ought to be a people in step, ready for a ministry that could preach to the lost, that God could condemn this sinful and adulterous generation, because we have been matured into the image of Jesus Christ. He said, but when we ought to be teachers, being able to understand this mystery of Melchizedek, of the theophany, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become as such that I have need of milk. I see many mothers here, they have the little babies and the blankets, and some maybe have a little bigger children, and these little babies, they need more attention, because the mother has to care for them and nourish them until they come to a certain age. And God provided the mother with milk to nurse those children. And many a times you see the mother begin to nurse the little children when they begin to fret. Now these scriptures we have read speak of stages and behavior of growth and development of the attitude of mature believers and the attitude of immature believers, of those who recognize the position and of those who don't know the position. If you notice, he was speaking about babies and milk and children, and when I become a man. Amen. And as we study these things tonight and compare these scriptures, we're going to realize that we cannot help but behave a certain way when we come to a certain stage of growth. The little babies would cry. I have three children home, two boys and a little girl, and they're at different stages of growth. And when I would go to speak to them, I would relate to each one of them differently. I communicate to them on a different level, because they all are is a different age group. The little girl who is the smallest, she cannot talk yet. She has a dada. You know, a goo goo. You know, when she wants something, she would hit me and point. You know, and she wants that. That is her way of communicating. Amen. Then I have another boy, and you know, he's the second one. He's a talker. You know, he just loves very bold. He would walk right up to you and he said, what is your name? Where are you from? Who you are? You know, and then he was going to talk, you know. And sometimes, you know, we'd be in the kitchen and we'd be speaking. Me and his mother, my wife, maybe some of the brothers might be there. And he would walk right up. I remember one particular time, Brother Biscuit from Canada was our home. We had some special meetings. And he was there testifying to some of the other minister brothers about the experiences he had with the prophet. And that little boy came up and he wanted to be noticed. He wanted to get into some conversation. He wanted to let his presence be felt. So he walked right up and said, "Look, I have a jersey." You know, he thought that was an important thing. You know, he wanted to say something. Then there's the bigger boy. And I could talk to him. Like many times I'll be going away. And I would call him and speak to him. I said, no, Timothy, you are the biggest boy. I said, and when daddy's not around, you have to behave yourself. You have to help your mother in the house. You have to take care of your smaller brother and your sister. Because sometimes when I go back home, I will hear that you are very naughty. When it's time for him to get up to go to school, he wants to lock himself in the room. Because they have it very hard. See, they have it very hard. Because sometimes I leave service, maybe 12 o'clock in the night, after preaching, staying back to minister to the people, counseling different ones, different problems different ones would have. Then you have to travel 40 miles to home. Time to get up is almost 1 o'clock in the morning. He had to get up 6 o'clock to get himself ready because the school bus is going to pass. And he had to travel to go to school. And most of the times in the morning, he's too tired to get up. Because they have to stay with me until I'm getting ready to go home. So it's very hard on them. Sometimes he locks himself in the room and he don't want to come out to go to school. And he fakes a little bit. And they pretend he'll have a bellyache. You know how little children are? They try to create a little impression. They try to behave a certain way. And many times, in that stage of growth, they think they are fooling you. Because they don't realize that you have a much higher stage of maturity. And you pass through that stage. So you can discern the behavior. So sometimes in their mind, maybe they scratch their heads. And they try to figure out, how come you know that they were pretending? How come that they couldn't bluff you? But because you have a higher stage. Amen. And ministers would know that. And people come to church and they try to pretend to be so holy. They love the Lord. You know, they're so spiritual. The minister knows. You're not going to fool him. Amen. Because he knows just what to look for and how to look. And sometimes he's asking you certain questions. You don't even realize why he's asking you those questions. And you're revealing yourself. And your spirit is being made plain to him. He's a pastor. He's anointed to deal with people. God gave him a gift to uncover things. That is to protect him. To keep this church in order. Amen. So if you look at these scriptures, we notice Paul, who is the prophet of the age, writing to the Hebrews, writing to the Ephesians, writing to the Galatians, writing to the Corinthians. He was speaking to them about their condition. about the situation and having an understanding of what the real maturity was, because he had the revelation of Jesus Christ and he saw in Christ an adopted son, a manifested son, the express image of the invisible God, the kind of man God made at the beginning. So with that revelation, he had a vision of perfection, what we were supposed to come back to. And having that mystery, he could preach that revelation to the early church, that he could impart that vision, that they could hold that vision before them and walk into it until they are conformed into the same image. Amen. That's why the Bible says, you are beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, and you are changed from glory unto glory until you are changed into the same image. So how could you be changed into the image if you don't behold the image? You have to have a vision of what it is to behold it, so you can be changed into it. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if you judge your own self, you will not be judged. So when you have a vision of the life of Christ, of the Word made flesh, of what the perfection is, you can judge your own self by that vision and know what you're lacking. So when you know what you're lacking, you know what to pray for. You know how to pray. If somebody is going wrong, you can know what to apply to correct that situation, to help them, because you're supposed to help one another. Amen. Provoke one another until love and grow up, and exhort one another much more easily than approaching. Amen. So Paul is telling them, he said, by now you ought to be teachers, because Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who Elijah introduced, was revealed. The full world is born in the manifestation. We have seen the corn of wheat. The Holy Spirit have come back to teach us further on these things. Because when Jesus was here, he said, I have many things that I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Ghost has come, he will teach you these things. When the Son of Man would be revealed in that prophet, in this day, you have many things you want to tell us, but the Holy Spirit show him. They cannot teach babies supernatural things. They can't be it yet. They'll only cause impersonation. They'll only misrepresent the thing and cause trouble. When they get a little bigger, then you can teach them algebra. But so the Holy Spirit told us we're not supposed to get these things, but if we obey these simple things, go along with this simple message, then there's going to come an hour, then these deep things we're going to come back around. And when they come back around, it will show us how to enter the rapture in faith. These seven thunders was going to bring us to recognize our position and bring us to have perfect work. Signs, wonders, and miracles. He will open up the unseen realm and show us how to relate to these things. So we can have a ministry of the spoken word and the third Paul. All these things, right in the book of Acts, they will take place right amongst us. Amen. So you're supposed to be looking for it. And then that season has come. And when those deeper things coming forth, many people is blowing up. It's too strong for them. They never obey the little things. Amen. Amen. And when they ought to be teachers, in 1985, They have needed somebody to teach them still. They are unskillful in the word. He said, everyone that uses milk. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the word. You have a little baby. You have no teeth as yet. You can't give him a piece of meat to eat. It will choke him and kill him. He's just satisfied with getting the milk from the mother's breast. That is sufficient for him. And when he comes to a stage where he can get a stronger diet, the mother would know it. And then maybe she might prepare something else for him to eat. Maybe she might boil some potatoes and mash up the potatoes and begin to feed him that. And then begin to be nourished a little more. And gradually he's coming on until he can eat the same kind of food that the mother is eating. She can even tell him, go and take all his food from the pot. I don't know if you do that over here. Amen.
Amen.
And he will go and do it. Because he's of age. He can feed himself. He can read the word for himself. And be nourished. And the Holy Spirit would open up the word to him and teach him further. You have no need of no man teach him. He has an anointing to teach him how to live, how to dress, how to behave himself in church, how to carry himself in public. All these things. Then when it comes to the deeper mysteries, then he had a teacher in the body with a gift of teaching to break down these things. But then the natural things that you can do for yourself, you don't need no man teach you that. The Holy Ghost would show you to have respect, to care about yourself as a Christian. Amen. Would teach you these things. The anointing would teach you. Amen. And Paul was saying,
all right,
meat belongeth to them that are full age. In other words, to them that are mature. Amen. So here in the scriptures, as we look at it, we notice Ephesians 4:11. Paul was speaking how we are growing up. You must be born and then grow up. Now this is an age. It's a super age. There is supermarkets. Super highways. Amen. Everything is super. The power preacher is called Super Sign. He preached a message called Super Sign. And then he talked about a lot of super dupers. Amen. And a lot of people, they think as soon as they're born, before they grow up, they can do great signs and wonders. It don't happen like that. Because though you have a child is born, he's not born a man. He's born a baby. Then you have to learn to walk. Then he comes to a state of a toddler. He's walking and falling down. He's trying to learn to balance himself. He hasn't got the balanced carcass yet. So he goes off into some funny revelations. Loses balance in the scriptures. Amen. God has to get him balanced out. But he begins to grow up. Then you begin to see him being to understand the way to do things. He's not no longer clumsy. He's not odd. You begin to understand the way to do things. The approach to it. Amen. And while that's happening, he's going for training. A development. Now God is training us through trial and error. He allows us to make mistakes sometimes. Not presumptuous sin, but through trial and error. He is teaching us that we can build up our defenses. We can understand the correct approach to things. Amen. Sometimes, you know, somebody may be singing. And they have a gift to sing. Oh, they have a good voice. But maybe they just can't control the voice properly. So they go too loud sometimes. But then as they begin to keep singing, they begin to, be, to get a training. They begin to be able to handle it. Sometimes they can sing good in the bathroom. When they come before people, they begin getting scared. And the gift doesn't seem to operate as it should. But then after, with more exercise, it begins to bring development. Now, that is a law. Exercise brings development. That's why you have to store up the gift that's inside of you. You just can't seem to operate and function with full authority if you're not exercising. The more you exercise, the more you discover how to operate more effectively. Because when the baby make a mistake and fall down, when he loses balance, if he gets negative and say, "I will never walk again, I just can't do it," he will never walk. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. But if he says to himself, with a little more practice, I'm going to get it just right. I'm going to get a few more falls. But I know I'm going to come to a place where I'll be able to walk so perfect. I will never fall no more. Amen. He's going to do it. And that's the way it is. As Brother Bram says, if I pay for 500 and they all die next morning, I wouldn't go to stop praying for the sick. I'll go right back tomorrow and start to pray again.
Amen. Yes.
I remember I read this one time. I don't know if you ever hear about Muhammad Ali. If you ever hear about Muhammad Ali.
Ali.
He was a boxer. But you see, these natural people, they discover a lot of natural laws in their field, and they become professionals. They perfect the field, like in the realm of a prophet. Brother Brown had come to perfection in that field, because he was in the spiritual realm. Amen. And if we observe the people, how they are perseverant in the natural realm, they are so perseverant until they achieve the goal. They get a vision and they become anointed with that vision, and they are determined, I'm going to come to that. And they strive, and they labor, and they sacrifice, and they keep themselves anointed with that purpose, with that vision, until they achieve it. And in the same way, in the spiritual realm, God give us a revelation. We shall come to adoption. We get a vision of perfection, and we strive lawfully, and we are perseverant until we come to that place where God could say, "This is my beloved son." And one time he had a daughter, and she was doing a little sewing. And she was trying to thread the needle. And she couldn't thread it. And she tried and tried. And she got this courage. And put on the needle. And begin to cry. And he took a whip and spank her. He said he didn't spank her because she couldn't thread the needle. He spanked her for accepting defeat. Amen. He wanted to put inside of her a determination that she will not accept defeat, regardless of circumstances, regardless of the obstacles. You'll be perseverant. And that's what the prophet had opened to the scriptures to show that Shunammite woman with a dead baby. She said, it is well. She was not going to accept defeat. It is well. Amen. And God raised back up the baby. He talked about the little woman in Mexico. She saw that blind man healed the night before. Her baby had died. She said, God healed that blind man. God can raise up my baby. And she went in that meeting from 9 o'clock in the morning. Stood up in rain all day. With the baby soaking wet. Dead for 11 hours. She soaking wet. And when the prophet came on the platform that night to pray for the sick, 300 deacons couldn't keep that woman under control. She was crawling through the leg, climbing over the shoulder, pressing through the crowd, fighting them, doing everything. She was determined to get to that prophet. She was persevering. That baby had to be healed. Faith struck her heart. She was inspired. It must come to pass.
Amen.
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 Look at the Syrophoenician woman. All of them was a type of the bride in the Bible. Gentile faith. In the hour when the Son of Man, when Elijah was in the land, and she had pressed all the way to come to the meeting. And when she had reached there, and she came right into the presence of the Word, she had had many hindrances. She had to come out of the house. She had to leave a church. She had to leave family. She had to go through many hard things. By the time she got in the presence of Jesus, he turned around and rebuked her. And he said, it's not right, I should give the church bread to the dogs. In the meeting, call her dog. And she said, yes, Lord. Amen. But even the dog eat the crumbs that fall from the table. He says, woman, I am not functioning of great faith in all Israel. For the same, go thy way, thy daughter shall be healed. They wouldn't accept defeat. He was persistent in spite of all obstacles. And made those obstacles come our way. And when they confront us, we tend to get discouraged. We tend to become negative. We want to become despondent. And turn around. But no, maybe it's the devil trying to keep you back. That time you must be more determined than ever. Because if you are not that way in this hour, you see, God knew the challenge, the kind of spirits, the tactics of the devil that he was going to try to throw in our way to hinder us when we are coming to get a hold of the promise. So he had a prophet, a seer, to reveal certain messages, reveal certain things in the Bible to anoint us. That when those things confront us, we could bulldoze our way through. Hallelujah! And go on to the promise. Amen.
Amen.
And here Paul
Paul
was seeing that vision
of
perfection in the Son of Man, full dominion. You can speak to the tree. You can walk on the water. You can speak to the storm. And he was in the image of the Word. And when the church was coming to that place, many began to fail. The Hebrew church, they came out of Judaism. And they were journeying to the promise. Just like the churches today in the message. Now all these churches, the Hebrews, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, Colossians, there was all message churches.
I am a message church. Amen.
There weren't denominations. There were message churches. They had come out of Judaism. They recognized Elijah with John the Baptist. They recognized the Son of Man. They knew the Holy Spirit was released in that day. And those they went for and established churches. And they had ministers preaching that revelation that Elijah had come. That the Son of Man was revealed. That there was a vision of perfection. We are coming back to be restored to what it was in the beginning. And they were preaching those things. But look what happened. The Corinthian church was carnal. They had divisions. They had strife. And Paul told them, he said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, because for this time you are not able to bear it, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is envying and strife and divisions, are you not yet carnal and walk as men? For while one said, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, are you not yet carnal? Amen. Look what was happening. Strife, division, enmity. And that behavior, that characteristics, was the characteristics of immaturity, of babies. And God do adopt babies. Jehovah Masterpiece is not babies. Jehovah Masterpiece is men, mature women who grow up into the head, who have been tried and tested and proven, who is ready for spoken word ministry. You don't take a razor that you're going to shave with and give the little baby to play with. He's a child. He can harm himself. He's not ready for mature things like that. Amen. So the Corinthian church, look at the condition they was in. Then you had the Thessalonians church. They was in the message too. But they were shaking in mind. There was troubled by some spirit. Some doctrine come out of some other church. And getting that church. And that overthrew their faith. And caused confusion. And Paul told them, don't be troubled in your mind or shaking your spirit. Because the day of the Lord is not going to come until the man of the sin is revealed. There can be a bit for another first. So we'll know that hour. And some are saying the resurrection is done past. Misplacing the word. mislocating the promises and overthrowing the faith of many. The Galatians, he said, "Oh foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? You start off in the spirit, but you end up in the flesh." Amen. He said, "You get entangled in the yoke of bondage." You're saying you're sons, but you behave different than a servant. Amen. He told him, he said, "Christ has been forming you first." Because what was happening? These Galatians, they were being confused in the mind. He said, "Where did this persuasion come from?" Others was persuading them to observe certain days, eat certain type of foods. You can't do this, and you can't do that. And a spirit of the law and legalism begin to come down to push them into works. Amen. Trying to justify themselves by works. But I am a better Christian than you, because I don't do that. And I pray longer than you, so I'm more spiritual. So you ain't spiritual unless you can't pray an hour. And all these kind of works of the flesh start to come in, and it starts a spirit of competition and impersonation, and it was taking people back into bondage. And Paul was telling them, you're trying to live in two dispensations at the same time. You can't have two living husbands. One has to die for one to live. Amen. And then the Hebrews, they were in the church in the message too. They were coming out of Judaism and journeying to the promised land. And Paul was showing them, you're just like the children of Israel. You're wandering in the wilderness. You're murmuring and you're complaining. You're provoking God into their trial. Look what happened to those people. You say you come out of the denomination, that don't mean you're saved. You say, because look, those who come out of Egypt, God destroyed them in the wilderness, in the day of testing. And he swear that they will not enter into his rest. And there's a promise left us of entering into the rest. Amen. Let us labor to enter in. There's a promise of adoption. There's a promise of a third prime ministry. There's a promise of dynamics. Let us labor to enter in. Let's become shorted. And we only have a little church in the message. We only have a little church in the message. A little church. We sing and we clap. We pray now and then. That is not the promise of the hour. The promise of the hour is a super church, a super race, with a revival of the just. Power in that church, and the third pole doing great things amongst them. That is the promise. Amen. Amen. So he said, let us labor. Enter into it. He said, we stay back here and we only in repentance and lay on our hands. But let's go to perfection. Let's come to maturity. Let us hold that vision before us. Let us hold the beginning of our confidence. Test pass unto the end. And let's labor until we get into that rest. Until we are placed positionally in that Ephesians. Amen. But the Ephesian church, they was in heavenly places. So all these was message churches. They started off, but they begin to fall on the wayside. They begin to get into divisions and strife and carnality and go back into bondage and begin to circle, and they become stagnated. Amen. And here we see Paul, seeing what they were supposed to be, begin to preach those things. And the same way a prophet in his day, he saw the promised ministry, the spoken word that was coming. He saw it in the word of God. John 14, 12. St. Mark 11, 23. The Son of Man being revealed. Luke 17, 30. He saw these things. Alpha had become Omega. Joel 2. I will restore. So he began to preach these things. And he had that experience in his own life. He had five manifestations of the spoken word. Formed back in the word image. He gave the adoption where he had a king Saul. So he began to preach to us that is the promise of the hour. Amen. That was the condition the church had to be in. And when you look at the church, he saw them. Many was trying to work by emotion. Many was trying to come in by works. Many was trying different things. Many was trying to make believe it. Some couldn't believe it. And some were getting a revelation. So he says, we have to rub the make believe out. We have to teach deeper things. And he began to speak about in every age how like Henry Ford, who invented the motor car. Revelation struck him. He saw that the hour had come for a greater need of transportation. They had to move from the horse and buggy into the motor car. They needed a faster method of transportation. And he had to find the material. How was he going to do it? And in the natural realm, he gets revelation. And he took the material from the earth. All the material was in the earth to make a motor car. It just took a revelation to put it together by a law of mechanics. Amen. And he began to work in that realm and put these things together. And he was able to invent the motor car. Then they had a car with that had the power of maybe about 16 horses, and they could go a little faster than a horse, and that was good for that day. But in the very same earth had the material to make an aeroplane, had the material to make a rocket. All the material was in the earth, but it could only be revealed in season as the need came. Hallelujah! Then in another season, when the motor car couldn't meet the need of the hour, then the Wright brothers, revelation struck them, and they begin to put wings on the motor car. Amen. By revelation, they begin to get a whole lot more power, and is able to take off the ground and go into a higher realm. They were mixing the chemicals in the earth together. They were bringing together by a law, and they began to achieve more power. And they saw it rise to a higher level. Amen. Now the same way, what was happening, the prophet seen where the church was supposed to be, because the Pentecostal church couldn't meet the challenge of the hour. So we had to get more power to face the challenge. Because 200 million supernatural devils had brought the Pentecostal church into a worldly condition. And they had to be a bride to rise to a higher level, because hell has been created on the earth. And the prophet had to mix the chemicals in the word. Because in the Bible, laid the revelation, laid the material to bring back manifested sons. Hallelujah! To bring back a church like the book of Acts. But I think a spiritual scientist to walk by spiritual laws to an chief spiritual things. And the prophet begin to come by inspiration and open up the revelation to these things in the Bible. And then when we begin to open up these things and bring the revelations out, then the church could rise to a higher level and we can see the supernatural being made manifest among the people. Amen. So he saw it coming. He even saw it in vision. What when it is applied correctly? It will be a mighty marching army. So he preached it. There will be a bride. She will be the same kind of bride. Like the first bride. He can prophesy. Because he had found the correct formula. He had found the correct method. He had found the material. He had the chemicals mixed together. He was the guinea pig. He was his own guinea pig.
Amen. He was. Oh, amen. Do you know what I'm going to do?
You know when they're experimenting? When they discover certain things? Before they test it on human beings?
Oh, amen. What are you doing?
They get an animal and they try it out on the animal to see if it is working. And if it's working and it's approved, then they bring it to the market for human consumption. So the prophet had nobody else to try it on. He tried in his own life. And when he tried out in his own life, the formula he had, he overcome every devil. He possessed every gate. Every promise in the book was manifested in his ministry. And it was displayed to us. So we should not be afraid of the formula. It's a working formula. We should consume it. We should apply it. That is why he said the evening message is to apply the token. Apply the faith. It will work for you because it worked for him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He began to preach to rub the make-believe out. Because under spiritual discernment, he saw Jacob. Why he couldn't face Esau? What had to be taken out of him? He saw Peter. Why deny the Lord? What was in him? That had to be taken out. He saw the same Peter. Says, silver and gold have I none. He saw what he received. So he looked at us. He saw Joshua. How he stopped his son. What revelation he had. What he was in contact with. That he was able to produce these things. So he began to open up to us the material. And give us the formula. Mix it together. That these things could be reproduced in our lives. That's what the message is all about. Now we can see these things repeat again. Because in the natural realm, you go in the drugstore, and you buy a certain formula called syrup. And you don't go and try to invent your own cough syrup. Because somebody already get a hold of that law. They mix it together. It helps people. They get a certain vitamins. They mix it together. You don't try to go and invent your own. They just work by what is already approved. So when the prophet came, Ruta already had the revelation of justification. He didn't go and try and find a new justification. Wesley already had the revelation of sanctification. The Pentecostal already had the revelation of restoration of the gifts. Just like the scientists, they land on the moon. The man who invented the telescope. The stars. They didn't go and try to invent something else. They took that law. Because back in that age, a man had perfected that. So they used that. Then some other scientists, He studied the law of light. And it proved that the correct law. So they used that. So Daniel, he had the correct law of praying. Abraham had the correct law of faith. Moses had the correct law to speak things into existence. Amen. And what the prophet was doing, he was just bringing it together. When it's time for perseverance, you find the people in the Bible who had that law. Amen. When it's time for patience, you find those in the Bible who had that mystery. And they begin to put it together to reveal Christ. Because when Jesus came, all was being manifested in him. And when it was manifested in the prophets, then he had every mystery. He came to perfection. All the Bible, everything was interpreted in his life. And here in us, as the real bride, the super church, we have to get a hold of these things also and apply them in our lives. But here the people at a certain stage, because of the immaturity, we're trying to enter into these things and it was backfiring. So Paul says, when I was a child, I taught as a child. You tell a child, go and make some tea. He may not even know how to make the tea. He haven't understood a law yet. A young girl in a mother's home, maybe about 5-6 years, she don't know how to cook. But she's been to grow up. As you begin to observe a mother in the kitchen, the mother has that mystery. She can knead the flour. She no longer leave it in the oven. She knows the temperature the oven must be. When she's making certain type of foods, she knows which one to put in first, which ingredient to put in last, in order to get it to the right flavor. Amen. And while the girl grew up in the kitchen and begin to observe those things, she pick up those mysteries. And then especially if she's asking questions, why are you doing that? And what's the purpose to do that for? Then she'll be able to know why it is being done. So she will not just be mimicking something. And the same way, as we observe the prophet, as we observe the life of Christ in the Bible, we see how he approached things. That's how the prophet preached the message. He showed us. Look, Balaam failed because of money. Look, Samson failed because of women. Look, Saul failed because of popularity. Look, David tried to do God a service, bypass God channel, consult the wrong set of people, get influence in the wrong realm. Look, God dishonored it. Look, when they come back to the right channel, look how God bless it. What you are showing us, how to approach things. Why to do it this way? Why not to do it that way? So we'd be able to get the same results that they got. But Abraham says, he said, I watched them apostles, how they set the church in order, how they did things. And I saw God honor them. And I know that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if I do the same thing that they did, the same way they did it, then God is obligated to meet with me the way he met with them. Amen. And that is exactly what it is. It's so simple that we can walk into it. So we see all these scriptures speak to different stages of growth and behavior and development and attitudes. Here they was. They say, hence we are no more children.
And this is an analogy.
Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sometimes you have little children going to school. And elder children than them. Even your own home, the elder ones try to influence the younger ones. Because of that immature age, they could be pressured into certain things. Amen. And Paul said, they toss to and fro. No stability. They're in that process of growing up. So in that process of growing up, they've been tossed here. Then they toss over here like a reed shaken by a wind. They hear this doctrine. They hear that doctrine. It confused them. They don't want to follow the message no more. What is happening? It's the stage of growth that they had. Amen. He said, but when I come a man, and I get the mind of Christ, and I begin to understand the position, begin to understand how God works, begin to understand that by grace we are saved through faith. Faith is a revelation, and the revelation of the grace of God that we were already saved through that revelation, then our works is an appreciation for God's grace. Amen. Hallelujah. So then look, in this message, God provided a place of worship. Brother Bram was speaking to the church, 1965. He said, I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and beginning to understand it. But friend, listen. We've got to lay in the presence of the Son. We've got to be ripened. Our faith isn't ripe. Intellectually, we are hearing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs He showed us and proven it to us by the Bible. But oh, how the church needs to lay in the presence of the Son till it tend up in the heart, get sweet in the spirit, that it could bear down. Sometimes in speaking the message, you get harsh. You have to break it like that. You better clinch your nail to make it whole. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated, set in the presence of God. He says, I know it will be something like the people was there beyond the curtain of time, that perfect love. Because he had just finished explaining about coming from beyond the curtain of time, how they had perfect love. He said it will be something like them over there when it goes into the rapture. Because we'll get perfect love here. Without perfect love, we can't enter there. So we have to get it here. So then God is going to try us to see if we come to that place. So notice this. Page 6. And God provided a place of worship. 1965. He said we had green faith. Our faith wasn't ripe. We had to lay in the presence of the Son. And trying to do God a service. Page 42. He said the shock is pulling away. No cooperation. Do nothing with it. Always it pulls away from it. There can't be no more. It's wheat now. But we are plenty green. That's right. Have to lay in the presence of the Son to be mellowed up. That's all of it. Plenty green. We haven't got the sincerity, the sacredness, the thing we ought to have in our midst, to know that the Spirit of the living God moving in His word and showing us the things yet. So what was the sign of greenness? Green faith. No sincerity. No sacredness. Because we have to be more sincere before we can come to a third promulgation. The angel told the prophet. The angel told the prophet. You have to be more sincere. How much us? Page 58. He says, bless the people, Father. Bring sincerity and deepness to the hearts of the people. May we get off those fragile bubble dances. Settle down into the deep riches of the honey of God. Grant it, Lord. Keep our hearts established with love and sincerity. He saw the need among the people. And he was praying for us to come into that place. He said, Father, I pray for them. But the stalk must dry. So I cannot pray for it. All the denominations. It must die. So it is dead. But I pray for the wheat, Lord, that is forming into the body of Christ. Grant, Lord, that the fresh waters of God will keep its cheeks bathed with tears of joy and understanding till the combine comes to take it home. Amen. So here was a prophet looking and seeing how the church was green in 1965. But I wanted you to notice he was not green. We was green. Not him. Because it's the rising of the sun. Page 15. He says, as Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets, and so forth. All the type in many places. He was the first fruits of those who slept. In the bright coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheaf wave again in the last days. Waving of the sheaf. What was the sheaf? The first one that come to mature. The first one that proved it was a wheat. That proved it was a sheaf. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. The first time that they will come forth for the bright age, for a resurrection out of that denominationalism, will be a message that the full maturity of the world has turned back again into its full power and been waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that it did back there. Amen. So April 18th, 1965, the prophet showed that he was the first one to approve you as a wheat, the first one to come to maturity. And he told us we was plenty green. We didn't have the sincerity. We didn't have the sacredness. Our faith was green. We yet have to recognize our position. But he recognized his position. He was right, so he could speak into existence. So he could have the third pole. So he could have these great things. But we didn't have it. Because we were plenty green. We had to lay in the presence of the sun for 20 years to come from greenness to ripeness, to be baked into maturity. Now 1985, 20 years after, there ought to be some mature ones. Amen. There ought to be that sincerity. There ought to be that sacredness. Because green faith, deities, children, was not ready for the last ride. When she will turn to the west. When she will turn to the west. She will tell the rest one of these days. And come for a quick short message. In the, you'll ride the trail one more time. And that ministry of the masterpiece with a third pole that will do great things for us in our midst, that will start the rapture in faith. Before we can have that, we have to prove we are weak. We have to prove we form in the image. We have to prove we come to maturity before we can have those things. But if he was ripened, then it was a sign with the harvest time. And in the harvest time is the stage of ripening. In the harvest time is the acceleration of ripening. Amen.
Amen.
So the ripening have already started. Because the sun is in its full strength in harvest time. And all seven seals had to be opened up to bring forth a full manifestation. If the seven seals have opened up in Luther Day, look at them, the two leaves, the blade coming out of the earth, the hot sun would kill it. Amen. So in March, the sun is very weak because the plant is very immature. And as it matures into a stalk, the sun gets a little hotter. A little more of the word is revealed. Then when it matures into a shock, then the sun gets a little hotter again. But when the grain is formed, it needs the full strength now of the sunlight to ripen it. And from the time the first one is ripened and is waved over the others, is a sign that the rest will come to maturity. It's a period of ripening. And when God adopted the first son and give him full power and authority and a ministry of the spoken word, it was a sign that others was going to come. But we had to be ripened also. And God had to open up the word in the local churches to bring forth the fullness of the word, to ripen those seeds, to bring us to a perfect faith, to rub the make-believe out, to bring us into a place where we can be mature Christians, ready for responsibility, behaving ourselves wisely in all our ways. All the greenness, all the immaturity, all the wetness, all the childishness, I prefer this brother. I prefer that brother. I don't like how that brother is preached. I like how this brother is preached. I am of Paul. I am of Cephas. Immaturity. But are you going to be able to grow and mature? You understand the diversity of operations. There are different administrations, but all the same spirit. Amen. One soul and one water. And God give the increase. You begin to understand. God give find the places. One of gold, one of frankincense, one of myrrh. But all have to come together to reveal the Messiah, so they can appreciate God in different diversities of operations. Amen.
Amen.
You're no longer getting clannish. You're no longer having little cliques. Amen. The body now is being fitly joined and compacted together by which every joint is applied. You're no longer burying your talent. Amen. You no longer put your light under a bushel, but you understand the purpose. God put an ability in you is to supply to the body, that the whole body to be fitly joined and compacted together. You're no longer sitting in the congregation as a spectator, but you become a participator.
Amen.
Yes, you ever hear about the Teta family? The Teta family in the church? The Teta family in the church. I don't know how to call it in Shola. But spectator,
amen.
Dictator, agitator, commentator. Amen. We must be participators. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We must get involved and recognize that even the smallest person has a part in it, has a purpose. Amen. And when we come to maturity, we find we can appreciate different ones. And we don't get ourselves comparing people. Amen. No, sir.
Amen.
Paul to become unto a perfect man. A place of maturity. A place of rightness. Because the wisdom of God is to them who are perfect. Amen. And here in this very hour, when we are fixing to have that ministry, we see divisions. We see strife. People thinking like children. Acting like children. He said, as long as you are a child, you're different than your servant. Though you is Lord of all. You can't manifest no authority. You can't display no power. Though it's promised unto you, you're still a child. You have to come of age first. You have to come and be proven first. That all these childishness is not inside of you. Even Brother Branham. I close with this. I think you get the idea. He was rebuked by God for being childish. After God had vindicated him. After the pillar of fire came, after God vindicated him in the ministry of discernment, after God gave him a Joshua commission and proved to be with him, when the time came for him to act with authority, he was crying, begging God, Lord help me, Lord help me, like a baby. And God rebuked him. Why are you crying unto me? Speak and go forward.
Amen.
And on this message, why cry, speak? He was showing us baby behavior and adult behavior. Paul said, when I become a man, I speak like a man. What is speaking like a man? Is speaking in the revelation of your faith. Speaking when you have been called. You have been trained. You've been anointed. You've been approved of God. You've been vindicated. You've been set out here with a commission to fulfill those things in this hour.
Amen.
You don't cry. You speak. Amen.
Amen.
But when I was speaking, it was Moses in the Red Sea. And when he stood up there, the people was crying. Instead of saying, Moses, speak the word. And he get dragged down in that atmosphere of quarreling and confusion. And he came out of the channel of inspiration. And then we are crying unto God. Help us, Lord, save us. No, it seemed like to do a right thing. I mean, after all, they was in trouble. It took God to help them. And the best thing to do was pray. But the Bible says, call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will hear and deliver you. But it wasn't time for that scripture. Amen. the scripture to apply there.
Hallelujah.
So speak and go forward. Amen.
Amen.
So God said, what are you crying to me about? What are you looking to me for? What are you calling me about? Have not I proven to the people? Have not I proven it to you? Haven't I called it? Isn't it scripture? Didn't I promise to take these people to the land? Didn't God promise to take these people to the promised land? Didn't God call our prophet? Didn't the pillar of Fatima bring his message? Didn't we have it for 20 years? Aren't we going to be teachers now? Aren't we going to be a man now? Grow up in the Christ? Not unskillful in the world? Not tossed to and fro? Not in division and strife and envy? But now the body should be working effectually? Amen! Now we should be able to speak the truth in love. Not go and talk about a brother with somebody else. But go straight to the brother in love and humility, trying to restore him and help him. Or pray for him first before we go talking about it. Amen. He said, didn't I call and say I sent you? And it wasn't you, it was me. And I go and I beat your lips. And whatever you said, I'd vindicate and prove it. Haven't I done it? Then when a little thing comes up, why do you act like a baby? You ought to be a man. Speak to the people. So I was showing you here in the Bible. Baby behavior.
My dear Anani.
And grown-up behavior. 1 Corinthians 3:1. It says you are carnal as even as babes. I have fed you with milk. Hebrews 5:13. He that useth milk is unskillful in the world. For he's a babe. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Romans 8:15. You have received the spirit of adoption. But you're waiting for adoption. When you're born, you receive the spirit of adoption that's going to tutor you and train you and bring you to adoption. Amen. But you're born a baby, not a man. Then you're growing up. And in the stage of growing up, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Bible says, be children in malice, but not in understanding. The men in understanding. Amen. Amen. But two children will fight right now. The next 5 minutes, you see them hung up. And they forget they had a fight. He said, be children in malice. 1 Corinthians 14:21. Galatians 4:1. It says, as long as he's a child, he differeth nothing to a servant. Galatians 4:3. When we were children, we are not no children no more. When we were children, we are tossed to and fro. A hard message preached, we think we lost. We start to cry. We get frantic. A nice message preached, we feel happy, we feel in heaven. Amen. See, you think as a child, but after a while, you make a call in the election show. You will go to salvation, fear and trembling. You see your name in the book. Nobody gets frightened you no more. You pass from death unto life. So when we were children, he said we were in bondage.
to
the beggarly elements. Ephesians 4:14. He said, we are no more children. Tossed to and fro. Because we grow up. Romans 8:19. He said, if children, then heirs. But though you are heir, you are different, not a servant. As long as you are a child. And
he said, meat belongeth to them
that are full age. Hebrews 6:1. Let us go unto perfection. Let us go unto full age. In other words, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. We teach wisdom among them that are perfect. Them that are mature. Could understand the deeper things. They eat manna. Riders in the wilderness. When they cross over into Ephesians. In the Canaan. The manna ceased to fall. They was eating the old corn. You have to eat old corn when you're going to possess inheritance. You have to eat old corn when you're going to stop the sun. When you're going to put your foot on the neck of the kings. Amen. Ephesians 4:13. Till we come unto a perfect man. Faith, virtue, knowledge, but like the brotherly kindness. Where you stand here. Perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I became a man. So I was a baby. Then I was a child. Then I'm no more a child. I put away childish things. I become a man. Maturity. Adoption. Jehovah masterpiece. Ready for mission. Spoken word. You see what we're talking about? Galatians 4:7. Now you are no more a servant. You can manifest your authority now. You are no more servants, you are sons. Romans 8:19. Now you're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let there be a scroll. I give you rain in the name of Jesus Christ. You are amateur gods standing on the earth. Romans 8:23. Waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. And that body will materialize along the word image that's for inside of you. So I want to show you. I'm sorry I don't have the strength. And the time to break down these things. But just to throw it out. And show in 1965. The first mature one was waved. But he told us we was green. He told us we was hearing the message intellectually. But the message was spirit and life in him. He wasn't hearing the message intellectually. We was hearing it intellectually. He did have green faith. We had green faith. But because he was writing, he was an acceleration of a rightness. It was ripening season. When the word seed was coming to the word image. When the green ones were becoming ripe. And for 20 years, we have been in the presence of the Son. Now you ought to be teachers. Now you ought to be mature. Now you ought to put away childish things. Because look right amongst us, the masterpiece being unveiled, the voice of the archangel being made plain, showing the generation is about run out. Christ ready for the second forward ministry, riding the trail. Oh, we sing it, but where is that mature people? Where is those perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect? Where is those who have no divisions among them? Where is those who have no envies among them? Where is those who have no strife among them? Where is those who put away childish things? Where is those who come to maturity? Who not crying, but have come in speaking conditions? Who speak like a man? Act like a man. Think like a man. Who put away childish things? May after these meetings, every childish thing we put away. Amen. As we pledge in our hearts this morning to walk before God with a perfect heart, like he told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk in love. You notice that in Psalms 1, He said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth in the way of sinners, who still in the congregation of sinners. And then we find in Ephesians, is also sit, walk, and stand. Sitting in heavenly places, walking in love, walking worthy of your vocation, and standing strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It is the position, it is the life of the believer where he's totally separated from unbelief and he stands out there knowing his position. And that's what we are. We are no more children. We are ready for adoption. So we must put away childish things. We are ready for ministry, the spoken word. And why Christ speak? Where God through these years having shown us He has called us, having proven to us He is with us, having proven to us our call is scripture. It is timely. We are in the season of the word that this is going to be made manifest. He vindicated by a pillar of fire. Then we should speak. He said the hour is here when we ought to be man and not babies. If ever we ought to speak, it's now. Let us come to that place. Let us stand in that condition of maturity. Not to be green and without sacredness, without sincerity, with green faith, that we don't know our position. We toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine, unskillful in the word. But let us grow up into the head, who is Christ, come into the headstone, where it cap off the pyramids of our lives with the capstone. This is what we're preaching. This is where we at. Then if those things of the past want to cleave to us, let us shake ourselves loose and put it away. When we leave from this convention, go back to our homes, go back to our churches, we are no more children. We put away childish things. Let's back out our right in faith with godly conviction that each joint, each one of us, would so participate and be involved and consecrate ourselves that the body which we are part of could be fitly joined and compacted by which every joint applies. Knowing we have a part to play in it, we have a measure of the responsibility, and that is going to bring the more effectual working in the body. If we are irresponsible, then that joint will not be supplying the body with the measure that part is ordained to supply. And right there, a chain is strong as its weakest link. And where the weak link is, the chain is going to break. But that is why we have come to this place where we must be ready, we must be responsible, we must be dedicated to these things. May we stand to our feet. I trust in this broken up message tonight, I give you the scriptures that you can study it out, and the Holy Spirit could take it and make more sense to it, to you, and teach you further on these things, that you could see they are children, they are babies, but they are mature ones also. Just as we were speaking the other night about those in the first poll, those in the second poll, and those in the third point. We have all different stages of growth. And normally you find in children, when they're growing up, they reach the age of about 13 or
14,
they try to behave like they're so mature. They want the little beard to grow out in the face. When the natural voice begins to change, they begin to think they're becoming a man. But that don't make us a man.
It's
our behavior. It's our principles. A young girl growing up, she begins to go through a change her life. A change in her body. She thinks she's a big woman. But it's the principles of womanhood. Holding a virtue sacred. Understanding what womanhood is all about. Then she becomes a real woman. Not trying to create the image of it. But in behavior, many times we project an image. But when the conditions come, our behavior shows what stage of maturity we are. But in this hour, our behavior must be the behavior of adults. Thinking like a man, speaking like a man, acting like a man, put away childish things, grow up into the head, have come to perfection, have labored, and have entered into that rest. Now we are ready for our ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ tonight that your Holy Spirit will take these things, Lord, and make it so real in the hearts of the people. The Lord, we can grow from stage to stage. We can be changed from glory into glory. We can be matured into the capstone of love. We can come to a place, Lord, where you can look down and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Where we prove that we are wheat, that the word have matured again into power in our hearts and our lives. Where we can see real believers with signs and wonders following them. With the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, with the character of Jesus Christ, Lord, holding the mystery of the faith and the pure conscience. I pray, oh God, that you so bless up in that place where it can be a mature church, knowing our places are. Bless the people, Father, for their patience, their long suffering. Oh God, the hours they have spent in the presence that the Holy Ghost to deal with them, Lord, and take away everything, Lord, that is hindering them, Lord, and bring them to that place where, Lord, they can put away childish things. Lord God, you can say you are no more servants, but you are sons. Now we can see a ministry of the manifestation of the sons of God in this hour, a ministry of the voice of the archangel, Jehovah's masterpiece. God, I pray, the Lord, your word would come forth in full strength in every local assembly, Lord, to right mark these believers, Lord, and to bring them into a place of perfect love, where we can enter into a rupturing condition, a place of perfect faith, where you come into bright material. God, may you grant it. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for your unfailing glory. Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.